Hi, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People with New York Times bestselling author Carrie Jones
and her adorable husband Sean Farrar.
Woo!
Thanks for hanging out with us as we give some
life tips
and real life marriage banter.
Let's get started now with a random thought.
Hey.
Hey, babe, girl, how's it going?
Well, welcome to Random Thought in the office, and I'm a little stressed out, I gotta tell ya.
Why are you stressed, baby girl?
I have to go away.
This carefree life we live.
I have to go away without you.
Where are you going?
Iceland.
You're going to Iceland without me?
And I'll probably get COVID, and I'll never get to come back.
You won't get COVID.
You'll be back on time, baby. They won't let me back into my country.
And I'll still be pissed that you went overseas without me.
You said you were mad.
I'm not mad at all.
You're just pissed? That's the same word. It's actually just a more violent word for the same thing.
I'm not pissed.
Oh my God.
I'm not
angry. You wouldn't even look in my eyes.
I know. I was lying. I'm just kidding. I'm happy for you. I wish you weren't so stressed about it. You're not even going to be able to enjoy yourself.
I won't.
Anxiety.
And talking about anxiety, some people in the UK are having some anxiety.
What?
In this random news tidbit I found from The Mirror, best news source of all time in the UK.
It is one of the best.
All right, for weird things that you can't verify.
How do they find this crap?
I don't know. Anyways, the headline is Mystery of Terrifying Big Gray Man That Haunts UK's Second Highest Mountain.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Big gray man?
Yes. He's allegedly stalking a Scottish mountain.
What's it called?
The gray man.
No, the mountain.
I can't say it.
Ben McDewey?
I don't think Dewey. Ben McDewey. I don't know.
That's probably perfect.
All our Scottish friends are like, what is wrong with both of you? That is horrible.
Well.
All right.
Sorry.
Anyways.
What's going on with the big gray man?
Well, he is known as Amfyrlaith More.
Oh, you can say that.
I can't say that either, but I'm trying in Gaelic, Scottish version. And allegedly, it's made a lot of experienced climbers a little scared.
Really?
Yeah.
It's caused them to suffer feelings of panic and fear.
Yes, that's a direct quote from The Mirror, Sean.
Holy smokes.
I was trying to avoid a direct quote.
Oh, you were?
Plagiarism.
Oh, if you tell him it's a quote, it's not plagiarism.
That's right.
But you did that for me.
Anyways,
is that Bigfoot?
He's super big. He's super gray. And he allegedly stalks the mountain. I don't know how you stalk a mountain because a mountain doesn't move, but whatever.
It's easy to stalk. So it's like Bigfoot.
Kind of. And the climbers say, quote, they suffer feelings of eeriness when he's around. He's at least 8 foot tall and covered in short gray hair. He could be a relative to Bigfoot or the Sasquatch. Such is his terrifying size.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
To think that big feet are everywhere.
And allegedly, when like the big gray guy is close to them,
yeah,
they feel much like how I feel when you're close to me. So they have sensations. 40? Oh, my Lord.
What?
The sensations, quote, include vast dark blurs which obscure the sky. That sounds like you.
Sometimes.
Strange crunching noises. Sounds like you
only
eating pretzels.
I'm eating.
Echoing footsteps which pursue the listener.
That's
totally you in the house.
Not
me. An icy feeling in the surrounding atmosphere, you and you're mad, as well as a physical feeling of a cold grip or a brush against the observer's flesh.
That one's me.
Every single night.
A cold brush against the flesh.
Allegedly, the sightings go back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And he's also been spotted near Aberdeen.
In a forest whose name is too long to
For
try.
Us to even a town. And even a professor back in 1896, Norman Colley, he taught organic chemistry, and he said that he saw.
Really?
Yeah, in 1925, he gave a speech, and he said, quote, I was returning from the cairn on the summit in a mist when I began to think I heard something else than merely the noise of my own footsteps. For every few steps I took, I heard a crunch and then another crunch, as if someone was walking after me, but taking steps 3 or 4 times the length of my own.
Well, that would make sense if he's so tall.
I said to myself, This is all nonsense. I listened and heard it again, but could see nothing in the mist. As I walked on and the eerie crunch, crunch sounded behind me, I was seized with terror and took to my heels, staggering blindly among the boulders for 4 or 5 miles, nearly down to the unpronounceable forest. Whatever you make of it, I do not know, but there is something very queer about the top of Ben Macdoril, and I will not go back there again by myself, I know.
Wow, that was in 1891, too.
1925. He talked about it in 1890s. It happened.
1891.
Yeah.
I saw the date.
Isn't that wild?
That's crazy.
And that, the big gray man or his descendants are still allegedly there.
Of course. Just like Bigfoot. They're still here.
Allegedly.
They're populating.
Boom, chicka, bow, bow. Hey, welcome to the main part of the podcast.
Hey, baby girl.
Hey, baby boy.
What's going on? What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about burnout and rest.
Well, you know what they say.
What?
It's better to burn out than fade away.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so sometimes we burn out.
Yeah.
And we work and work and strive and strive and juggle multiple obligations and opportunities. And we just stop being fully there in the moment or in our life. Because we're so tired.
Don't I know it.
So before we go on, let's define burnout.
Okay.
We're going to go with this definition because it's not from a Medium blogger guru, but a real place.
Yeah.
And it's the National Institute of Health. And they define burnout as...
The term burnout was coined in the 1970s by the American psychologist Herbert Freudenberger. He used it to describe the consequences of severe stress and high ideals in helping professions. Doctors and nurses, for example, who sacrifice themselves for others would often end up being burned out, exhausted, listless, and unable to cope. Nowadays, the term is not only used for those helping professionals or for the dark side of self-sacrifice. It can affect anyone, from stressed out, career-driven people and celebrities to overworked employees and homemakers.
That NIH article also has some nice rundown of symptoms. These are all a direct quote, no plagiarism. And the first one is exhaustion. People affected feel drained and emotionally exhausted, unable to cope, tired and down, and don't have enough energy. Physical symptoms include things like pain and gastrointestinal stomach or bowel problems. Two.
Alienation from work-related activities.
That was Sean's belly.
That was my burnout belly. People who have burnout find their jobs increasingly stressful and frustrating. They may start being cynical about their working conditions and their colleagues. At the same time, they may increasingly distance themselves emotionally and start feeling numb about their work.
Three.
You do that. Sometimes.
Reduced performance. Burnout mainly affects everyday tasks at work, at home, or when caring for family members. People with burnout are very negative about their tasks, finding it hard to concentrate, are listless, and lack creativity.
See, you never do that, though. You always fight your way through it, baby.
Rah!
We'll take a few minute break.
So it's like depression, right? But it's not the same because typically people who burn out don't feel hopeless, suicidal, or have low self-esteem.
Well, I'm going for burnout anytime.
So now we've got that out of the way. How do you get some downtime when you're working so hard?
This is the part I need right
that
here.
That you're either burnt out or in great danger of getting there. One.
I like this title.
Why don't you say it then?
Getting a grip. And gratify yourself.
I know, and that's why I like it. First, you want to look at the patterns of us overachievers who tend to burn out. We often were the good kids in school who learned that in order to get praise and not get in trouble, you had to get all your assignments done and on time. We're all about the goals and completing those goals.
You are very goal-focused, my little goody-goody student.
And chilling out and resting, that doesn't feel goal-oriented, right?
No, it doesn't. But it's good for your body.
So we think that we can delay our gratification and keep delaying it and keep delaying it so that we can get all our goals done. Delayed gratification, we all learn in our beginner psych classes, means that we have better success in life. They test children about this, right? Like it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're super focused on achieving, we burn out because the delayed gratification equates to us not realizing that we're breaking down physically and mentally and never actually getting gratified.
That's horrible.
That's me, man.
You gotta get gratified. Not you. At least a couple times a week.
Let's go there. The other thing is,
be chill and let go of that damn guilt. Carrie and I are developing a major problem with this, so this is important for us to read. It's not just that. We want to get a lot done and to do it well. If our work isn't awesome, we feel like we aren't awesome. Resting, we foolishly think, keeps us from getting all our awesome things done. It keeps us from writing, running 3 miles, finishing the project for work, making the perfect lunch for our kids. It's worse than that, though. We feel guilty. If we rest, we feel guilty.
Ah, so much guilt.
We should be working, doing, creating. We should be better than this. We don't take naps.
We don't need naps.
Well, our thing is we don't take naps and we can't even sleep in nowadays. We get up in the morning and see that it's like 6 o'clock and we're like, I want to stay in bed till like at least 7. But then we're like, no, we've got too much to do.
All right, here's the third thing.
Yeah.
Take a nap, damn it.
Oh.
Here's a secret. Alexander the Great took naps and he still got to be called great.
It's because he had all those other people do his bidding. I'd be napping too if I had all those soldiers and slaves.
I wouldn't. Ben Franklin took naps.
Yeah.
So the first step is to realize that, right?
That naps are important? Well, or that even successful people take naps?
People who changed history in the Western world actually rested. And that means you can too. If you don't, your performance kind of gets crappy.
Yeah, I can see that.
You don't want that, do you, goal-oriented one?
No, you don't want that.
No, of course not.
You don't want to be that guy. Take a nap.
And then you have to remember that everything doesn't have to be a goal, and everything doesn't have to be your job and responsibility.
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's hard for Shawnee.
Tough.
So make a to-do list, sure, Shawnee. But in that, make a top priority list and focus on those. And remember that it's okay to not be amazing all the time, to not be reliable all the time, to not do everything for everyone all the time. It's so hard, especially when you're struggling to survive.
Yeah.
But you have to remember it's okay to suck sometimes. We all do. And it's okay to nap.
Well, I don't suck, but I would like to nap sometimes.
So, what's our dog tip?
Dog tip for life?
Yeah.
Oh, that's an easy one.
All right, that's
great. I mean, Smarty's doing it right now.
What is it?
He's napping.
Nap.
Mofos.
I knew you were going to say mofo.
Oh, did you?
Yes, man.
You're psychic, baby.
I just know you now.
What am I going to say now about Smarty? Only get up.
For food.
When you hear the pantry door open, yes, for food. For food. Sleep and eat. That's the perfect life.
Sadly, for humans, we have to make money to eat.
Oh, that's true.
So stupid.
Pitiful humans.
Our shelter and food needs and our monetary system and our grumble.
I know. We should all just run around the street and sniffing each other's butts and begging for food.
And when, I know some people who come to Bar Harbor every summer and do just that.
Pretty much. They do. You're right. Hey there. Thanks for listening to Dogs Are Smarter Than People. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share your heart out.
These podcasts and more are at my website, carriejonesbooks.blog.
There's even a little donation button there, because even a dollar inspires a happy dance in Carrie.
And Sean.
But hers are much better than mine.
His are funnier.
So thank you so much for your support.
The music you hear here is made available through the Creative Commons, and it's a bit of a shortened track.
Who is the artist and what's the song?
Well, it's Summer Spliff by Broke for Free.
I love that song.
He does.
Just because of the name.
He does.
Thanks for listening so much.
Boop.